Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Linn County teams making a statement at the state baseball tournament. That wild National League Central race. A high recruit is set to announce his final schools. And a look into Iowa State football. That all ahead here on a Friday edition of the Gym Class. Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann today. Scott Unash and most of our Caddy Smack crew in golf competition today. Scott and Rick Swan competing in the Senior City Amateur Golf Tournament. Have not gotten any results yet. And head pro Brian Haas, Blue Top Ridge, competing in the Iowa Open at his home course. So at the very least, we wish those guys well. Scott will be back on Monday. Rick over on Smart FM right now. Let's bring you up to date on what's going on around the area and across the country right now. State baseball tournament at Principal Park in Des Moines. Xavier becomes the third Linn County team to reach a championship game. The Saints defeated Marion earlier today, 4-1. Marion ends its season with its best record ever and quite a season, reaching the semifinals. But Xavier moves into the championship game against Central DeWitt. Central DeWitt, the alma mater of our own Todd Brommelkamp, has dethroned the two-time defending champion Davenport Assumption team, also by a 4-1 count in the semifinals. So your 3A matchup in the championship game tomorrow will be Central DeWitt, 38-3 against Xavier, 40-2. That game will be at 4:30 tomorrow in Des Moines. Already, Al Burnett and North Linn punched their respective tickets to state championship games. Al Burnett reaching the 1A final. It will compete against Mason City Newman for the state title at 11 o'clock tomorrow. Also tomorrow, North Linn will face Van Meter at 1:30 for the 2A title. So there you have it. You're up to date on the state baseball tournament. Zach Johnson trying to move up the leaderboard at the Wyndham Championships. That's taking place in North Carolina right now. Zach needs a big, big finish to make the FedEx Cup playoffs. He had it going early. He was 3-under through 4 or 5 holes. Gave back strokes at the 17th and 18th, his 8th and 9th of the day. Right now, Zach Johnson, 1-under for the day, 3-under for the tournament, and currently sits outside the cut line with 5 holes remaining. So Zach's going to have to make a move just to get to the weekend. And if so, you never know. So we'll bring you up to date on Zach Johnson's progress as we go forward here. Coming up, Rob Gray of Cyclone Fanatic talking about Iowa State football. Of course, the Cyclones held their news conference yesterday. Todd Brommelkamp of KGYM in attendance over there. And we'll talk to Rob Gray more about what's going on in Cyclone camp. Xavier Foster, a 7-footer out of Oskaloosa, apparently is set, according to Rob Howe and Tom Cakert, friends of the show, set to announce his final list of schools. He's the 7-footer out of Oskaloosa, has had about a dozen offers from across the country, including Iowa, Iowa State, Kansas, UCLA, and USC. Apparently his top 3 favorites right now are Iowa, Iowa State, and Baylor. But we shall perhaps find out this weekend from Xavier Foster, who has, you know, the mixed reviews on him. He is a 4-star. Not really focused, I didn't think, his sophomore and into his junior year. But that's part of maturity. And bottom line is you can't teach 7 foot. So we shall see what happens there. What do you make of the news of the day, Kyle?
I think you nailed that situation with Xavier Foster there. He's, you know, he was just such a young high schooler still. I don't, you know, it's hard to criticize anybody too much, but I think you're right. Just he's got a little bit of maturing to do, and you just can't teach 7 foot. If you've got a 7 foot 4-star guy in your state, you've got to be after him. And Iowa State and Iowa both have for several years now. And he's not going to commit anywhere tomorrow. He's just going to release that final list. And I think Iowa and Iowa State have been so closely linked for so long. I would expect them both to be there. But like I said, with no commitment, there's really not going to be any great news tomorrow. The only opportunity we here in Iowa have is for bad news, really. If one of those teams doesn't show up, that would be a surprise.
And we've seen teams like Kansas and North Carolina, and most recently Ohio State with DJ Carton, come into the Iowa, within the Iowa borders, and pluck players. So it's no guarantee that these kids are going to stay in the state, but he does like both Iowa and Iowa State. Again, Baylor in the mix, Kansas, and several others. So we'll wait and see what happens with Xavier Foster apparently this weekend. They are playing baseball at Wrigley Field right now, the Cubs and Brewers in that wild National League Central. The Brewers coming back to Chicago after competing in Oakland last night. The Cubs had some travel problems after completing that series against St. Louis last night. But nevertheless, they're both on the field at Wrigley Field. Right now, the Cubs, behind home runs by Jason Hayward and Javi Baez, have taken a 4-1 lead on the Brewers that game in, what is it, the seventh?
Fifth inning.
I'm sorry.
Also, don't forget, Jose Quintana got an RBI single in there. It's the home runs and the single from the pitcher.
Well, I think the Cubs very happy to be back home.
Oh.
Where they play extremely well. The Cubs are 36-18 at home. Won 2/3 of their games at Wrigley Field. That may not be too surprising. Surprising part is a National League worst 21-33 record on the road. Theo Epstein comes out today, says he's embarrassed. The Cubs haven't won a series on the road since May. 0-7 within the division in that time. And I don't know if you can pinpoint one thing, but the Cubs are just too good a team to have that kind of record on the road. The Cubs be 500 on the road, they'd have a nice, tidy little lead in the division.
Yeah, and I don't really think you can explain it. And that's why I think that there is a really deep problem with this team. And I think it goes really high up. But the Cubs that we used to know, I think we've had this conversation before. The Cubs we used to know were a clean defending team, a clean base running team. The bullpen is obviously not great, but the team used to play cleanly and it used to always seem like even when they were down, something good might happen. And just as a Cubs fan, somebody who watches every single game, I'm here to tell you that is just not the case. The defense is very sloppy at times, base running even worse, and it sounds so cliche. You want to call it a lack of a spark. They don't have the fire. They're not focused. It's all those cliches. It's nothing that you can actually put your finger on, but the Cubs are dealing with all of it right now, and I'm not exactly sure how you fix that because the team is more talented than they're showing, especially on the road. And you just got to find a spark somehow, and that's really not anything that you can just do.
Jack Flaherty handcuffing the Cubs last night. He and two other pitchers combined on a one-hitter as the Cardinals assumed a one-game lead in the National League Central. I mean, I got to believe this thing's going to go back and forth for the next a better part of 2 months, unless the Cubs can play better on the road. If the Cubs can play better on the road, I think it's their division to win. But if you continue to play as the Cubs have on the road, it's going to be a struggle down the stretch, I think. And again, I can't put a finger on it. You talked about the defensive woes, base running woes, pitching. Obviously, being at home and on the road is two different things. The environment is different. So many things. There's a comfort level being at the friendly confines or whatever home field you might have. But this is really a head scratcher for me, how a team apparently with this much talent can play so poorly on the road.
It head scratcher is a good one. I actually got a text from Alex Kuhn last night. I don't know if he'll get into this on the show with he and Todd, but he texted me and said basically he's seen this before with the Cardinals last year. You've just got a team that's just not playing well, you know. And do you recall last year the Cardinals were basically going through the same thing? They were making errors. They were getting thrown out on the base pass. The bullpen was terrible. Everything that the Cardinals, you know, even when they weren't elite, you always had a level of consistency and just properly played baseball. You had that expectation with the Cardinals, and all of a sudden you didn't have that. And so what did the Cardinals do? They fired their manager and brought in Mike Schilt. And Alex texted me last night and was kind of thinking out loud with me whether or not the Cubs are in that position. And I think they are in that position, but I don't think that they are even close to having the ability to do that to Joe Maddon. And
you're saying the Maddon magic is lost on the road?
A little bit, yeah, because just rewind a little bit where I'm saying you've got to try to find a spark somehow, but it's not really something you can just do. You know, you can't just snap your fingers and say, I'd like a spark,
mm-hmm,
please.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Maddon used to kind of do that. That was the whole thing. He had the energy. You know, they would wear goofy outfits on road trips and all that. Joe Maddon was just a living, breathing spark. And that is clearly not the case anymore. I think of coming into the season, there was a lot of talk about Joe Maddon's contract and how important he was to this team and whether he should stick around for the long haul. And I'm not exactly sure where I stand anymore, but it's much less loyal to Joe Maddon than it was a few months ago.
Six games above 500 right now, the Cubs are. And if the season were to end yesterday, the Cubs would have been in a three-way tie for the two wild card positions in the National League. Thankfully, there's 50-some games remaining, and there's probably going to be some separation somewhere along the line. The Cubs leading 5-1 right now over the Brewers in the fifth inning at Wrigley Field. 319-366-1600, our Hertzian and Stocker Jeweler text line. Feel free to weigh in with us and give us a call if you would. But since Kyle's in the studio, he'd have to go back and forth a little bit.
I can pull it off. They'd never even know.
I know you can. But thanks to Third Base Brewery, our sponsor of the gym class. Just like KGYM, Third Base is locally owned and operated, a place where families meet up again and again. Great for a quick lunch, catch a game after work, or bring the family in for an affordable and delicious meal. Thanks, as always, to Third Base Brewery out there on Blair's Ferry Road. A lot of nice baseball on the radio this weekend. We'll have the Twins and Royals starting a series tonight, 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, and KGYM will carry the Saturday and Sunday games of that series. But also, we have for you Saturday and Sunday games between the Red Sox and Yankees on KGYM.
I feel like we've had that series two or three out of the last four weekends. I would have to look at the schedule.
Definitely last weekend, wasn't it?
Well, maybe that's what I'm thinking of then. But yeah, the Yankees and Red Sox just seems like they do a good job of making sure those are in prime time spots.
8705 on the text line. 3 years of disappointment with a wildly talented and costly staff fall on the manager and his coaching staff.
It's honestly
3 years removed from a World Series championship.
Yeah, and World Series, it's extremely hard to repeat. Baseball is just hard to sustain success in. But at a certain point, it's kind of hard to disagree with what 8705 says. This team has not played up to its level of talent for 2 years now, probably even a little bit more. And I do think that the front office, the upper management, even above Joe Maddon, has not done much to help, especially, again, in the last 2 years. But kind of like we're talking about, it's more than you know, not making enough trades or something. It's you're getting thrown out, you know, lollygagging between first and second. You're making errors because you're a converted catcher playing left field. It's more than the upper management stuff, and it has to fall on somebody. And I think if it wasn't the Cubs, I would have a much easier time saying these kinds of things fall on the manager.
Well, you know, it's arguable because I think ultimately it might fall on the players because for some reason they play really well at home and not very well on the road. And again, there's a lot of circumstances that go into it, and the season is hardly over. Let's also throw that in. Cubs can turn it around on the road in a heartbeat, I think.
But they certainly could, and I'll be the first to say it right there with you. But I've basically been saying that exact thing for 2 years, and because you look at the team, you look at the roster, you know that there is talent on the team. You're constantly just waiting for them to turn it on, and then a couple weeks later, you're still waiting for them to turn it on, and then October's getting pretty close, and you know it'd be great if they would turn it on here, and it just hasn't happened really.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to visit with Rob Gray on some Iowa State football. Stay tuned.
Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club. Now it starts at noon, and you just need to call by 11:30 to enter. The entry fee is $30, and there are no green fees. Plus, all entries are returned. Play is on a Stableford format, which gives every golfer a chance to win, regardless of ability. There will be team, individual, and skin winners. The Wednesday game is the best game in town, and it's only at St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blairs Ferry Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids.
Your life is full, with good friends and family topping the list. Create an even more welcoming space for them with elegant cabinetry from Decora. Meticulously handcrafted, solid hardwood, custom milled cabinets. Whether you envision a gleaming new kitchen, impressive entry, or updated entertaining area, Decora has discriminating details at an approachable budget. And throughout August, receive free premium finishes on Kemper and Decora cabinetry at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, and at Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
I am so happy that I found Smart FM.
Smart FM is a radio station at 95.1 in Cedar Rapids and 98.5 in Iowa City. Smart FM plays a broad variety of smart rock. Smart FM artists may include The Beatles, Boston, The Rolling Stones, Chicago, Aerosmith. Genres of smart rock include rock, pop rock, new wave, and alternative. Any and all are not uncommon to experience while listening to Smart FM. At times, smart rock includes deeper tracks and even live tracks from artists you haven't heard from in quite a while. Smart FM may cause excessive periods of listening.
Smart rock makes me so happy.
After a 5-2 road trip, the Twins are back home for a long homestand beginning with the Royals on Friday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis right here on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Can I just listen to this?
The Gym Class.
At Menards, nobody beats our prices and selections.
No, we don't want that.
That was part of the intro.
Welcome back into the Gym Class. Mark Dukes here with Kyle Mann today. Scott Unash off. He'll return on Monday, and we'll chew about what went on over the weekend. But right now, we want to chew on Iowa State football. And Rob Gray is here to help us out from Cyclone Fanatic. Afternoon, Rob.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Hope you're doing well on this fine day.
We are. It's beautiful weather, and we'll enjoy it as long as we can. Iowa State enjoying pretty good seasons lately. We get into 2019. Matt Campbell held a news conference yesterday. Did you learn anything, or what, if anything, did you learn?
You know, by now, in terms of just the overall broader picture, the foundation, the concept of culture that he's implemented, not really. But, you know, learned a few things on the outside, just how high they are in their true freshman defensive backs, especially the cornerback, where they've got a couple of younger guys with starting experience replacing two very experienced guys. I'm talking about Anthony Johnson and Tron Young, who was unfortunately banged up some last year. That's something new, and I guess just the overall vibe of younger guys keeping, still feeding in and pushing older guys, even very experienced guys.
At one point, Campbell talked about the culture of the program and almost single-handedly credited Ray Lima for that. Did that surprise you at all?
Now, I will say, even though Ray has been praised as an unsung hero, he's been talked about being, underestimated in terms of his impact. That did, I agree, take me aback a little bit. And Ray has been a godsend to that defense as a whole, and just in terms of being able to occupy two blockers a lot of the time. It frees up so many other guys to do so many different things. And it was surprising, though, even though Ray is the quiet type, that does all the right things, to hear him single-handedly was a bit surprising to me, no doubt about it. But his impact has been immense. So I guess we had a hint, some inkling at that. But yeah, that definitely was a bit of a surprise.
Coach Campbell made some comments yesterday as well. He also made he referred to the program as developmental, which for all the wrong reasons, really raised some eyebrows on this side of the state. But for you, somebody who's been so close to that program for so long, Iowa State's clearly had a couple good years right now. But looking at the players that are in inside of that building, when it comes to being a developmental program, are you seeing the players be developed better than they used to?
Well, I think so. But I think part of that's a factor of they've had their best recruiting classes since at least 247 Sports started doing, such rankings and all that. I think the 2020 class is up to 33rd and third in the Big 12. They just keep bringing in more talent, and hence I think the development comes quicker. At the same time, the culture they established, I mean, I think one of the key moments was when it leaked out that Campbell had talked about telling his players, they're going to ask you about going 6-6 and going to a bowl game. Well, that's a bunch of blank. I don't want anybody thinking that that's okay. And we're trying to take this to a new level. And frankly, I don't understand why this idea of built-in limitations, simply because they've been here for so long, has taken root and kind of, hampered maybe some of that development, which is, again, tied into everything, bringing in better players and altering that mindset. So I think that's what he's about. I think he'll always be about that. He'll always say that they've never arrived. And I think that's a good approach. Every previous coach, save maybe one of the last three preceding Campbell, did a lot of good things. Some of them even, nearing unprecedented for the program. It's just Campbell's got them on that trajectory that seems to be busting stereotypes and shattering self-imposed limitations.
Well, the offense obviously starts this year with quarterback Brock Purdy, and he's gotten a lot of preseason accolades, and rightfully so. I guess my question for you, Rob, is I think I remember back Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State, said hadn't seen any tape on him or anything. We didn't really didn't know what to expect. So now with a year or at least part of a year under his belt, your thoughts on Purdy going into his sophomore season?
Well, I think he's got the exact right mindset for a quarterback in Matt Campbell and Tom Manning's system. He's a sponge. He's always been that gym rat. He never believes he's arrived. And he is the most vanilla quote you'll ever find. He's not colorful, but he's so dynamic on the field. I mean, that's kind of a coach's dream. So I think he's going to continue to evolve in this offense. He's going to continue to use that pump fake, freeze people. I think that's an instinctive thing. Guys are going to hesitate a slight bit on that, even though they've seen film now from several games last season. And I think his accuracy was really good last season. And yeah, you lose a huge big-time security blanket in Akeem Butler and one of the best running backs in school history in David Montgomery, who's doing similar things at the NFL level now after taking a big leap with the Bears. But they've got a lot of talent back at both those position groups. And the fact that you kind of don't know who you're going to in those areas, I think, makes Purdy more dangerous. I mean, we'll see. The offensive line still has to take another step beyond, I'd say, average. They need to get up to that consistently good status. But I think, you know, he's poised for taking another step forward.
Well, along the lines of who he goes to, there is some experience at the receiver position. But a guy I'm interested in is LaMichael Petway, the transfer from Arkansas. Probably too early to, peg where he might fit in. But what do you know about Petway?
Well, I know he had his best season, his final season there in Fayetteville, and I think the change of scenery was sort of in order. I think he's got great talent, ball skills. He's got very good strength. It's hard to gauge speed at this point, but he definitely looks the part. Again, you bring a burner back like Tariq Milton, who right now is slated to replace Butler on the outside, even though he's much smaller. He's got the type of speed and quickness that can create the same type of separation in a different way. And then another transfer to keep an eye on is Darren Wilson, JUCO out of Kansas. Some people are even saying he's the fastest guy on the team, which that's been held by running back Kanae Nwangwu for a long time. So that's another guy to keep an eye on. But Petway certainly has, he fits the mold perfectly of a guy that kind of a Matthew Eaton guy. Hasn't had a whole lot of opportunities. Eaton came up the JUCO route, but really, really bettered himself. He had two seasons at Iowa State. Petway has only one. But I think they are looking for big things. He was asked whether he could be a 1,000-yard receiver. What's he going to say? He said, certainly, yes, that's the goal. If that's the case, I really like the way that can open up the passing game.
While we're on the topic of pass catchers, the thing that's really intrigued me between media day and the first day of practice today is it seems like there's a little bit of momentum. There's a sense that the tight ends are going to be a lot more involved this year than they were last year. How much more do you see Charlie Kohler, Chase Allen, and Dylan Soner, a name I'm not really all that familiar with, at 6'7", 270. How much more can we expect to see those guys this year?
Well, I think the plan is to see him quite a bit more. I think it's likely you'll see two tight ends on the field, a little bit of added help for that offensive line that continues to improve. But as Coach Campbell said on Media Day, that is the most developmental group there is. There are no shortcuts on the O-line. I think Kohler, he was a touchdown machine last year. He's got great athleticism, size. All of them have that. Even Dylan Soner, who has been banged up throughout his career, but people look at his size, 270, 6'7", I believe, and think, okay, here's a guy that really is primarily just there to help in the run game. And Coach Campbell cautioned that he's much more athletic than people think, and he's got great hands, and he can be a weapon in the passing game as well. Chase Allen also has battled injuries. A real blue chipper coming out, obviously the son of former UNI coach Terry Allen. I think that could be the best. On paper right now, that's the best tight end room they've ever had. And if they can perform even according to expectations, that's going to give you some of those big pass catching starts down the field. Yes, not breakneck speed, but great hands, great route running, and also great assets to the running game. They're obviously very high on that group.
I want to ask you about the offensive line just a little bit, because right now, going into the season, you're projecting a starting five that is experienced. They've played with each other, but at the same time, This is a group that at times has been one of the most questionable on this team. So do you think that we see this same unit continue to improve, or do you think we're going to see a guy or two emerge as a new face on that line?
Well, I certainly that's the plan. I think they are really high on a couple of guys that joined the team last season, Joey Ramos, Trevor Downing, and they're really pushing for playing time, whether that includes, and they're pushing for starting roles, despite five guys having starting experience. And then you throw in a Sean Foster, big guy, that started a handful of games. But Campbell told me last year, I remember on Media Day, he thinks they can take another step, but he thinks they're a year away from where they want to be. So given how things have sort of unfolded, I don't want to say magically, because it's very much hard work and in the film room all the time and all that stuff for these guys, coaches on down. I think they're on schedule. I mean, you bring back a Julian Good-Jones, who I think has 37 straight starts. Josh Knipple, very, very, perhaps the best lineman on the team. Bryce Meeker got banged up a little bit last year. Lots of starting experience. Colin Olsen converted D tackle. Very impressive in gaining some starting experience last year. Colin Newell, even more impressive, I think, behind center as a redshirt freshman. They got to prove it. You know, the team slogan, and they probably have to prove it more than any other position group. But with that experience and the talent that they're bringing in behind, the name is eluding me, but Coach Campbell even talked about how good one of the true freshmen looked, which it's almost
Bryce Peterson.
So rare that any of those guys see the field. But I think they're feeling really good about that depth and that experience and growing athleticism and that all, you know, five is one sort of concept with that group.
Rob Gray of CycloneFanatic.com joining us on today's edition of the Gym Class 334. A natural question, Rob, and I'm sure you've talked about it a lot, is the running back position with Montgomery out of the mix now in the preseason depth chart, listed five guys on the OR line. I imagine these guys all have different skill sets, but how do you evaluate that position at this point?
I think at this point, you've got it. Campbell is, despite some of the, you know, break the mold sort of approaches he takes to some things, maybe on a philosophical level, he's very much a traditionalist. And he's going to favor seniors over underclassmen unless, you know, those underclassmen take a big jump and overtake those individuals, which has happened. I mean, and then, as he says, he'll evaluate. You can put the best players on the field. I think Kenny Nwangwu has to come in as the odds-on favorite to be the starter, but I think this really, Campbell even touched on it when asked yesterday, very much a committee situation, especially early in the season, because true freshman Breece Hall, Jarrell Brock, highly touted guys out of Illinois, and Hall is a different sort of back, so big, but also brings speed. Nwangwu is very fast. You wonder, though, the committee can help him be even more fresh on kick returner, where I believe he was 12th nationally in yards per return. He starts to break one loose every time. Johnny Lang banged up last year, but also very fast, got maybe the most wiggle of that group. And Sheldon Crony, a guy who's been in the program since the Rhodes days, really had some big reps last season when David Montgomery was hurt. So I think committee early on, a couple guys will emerge, but I think having two or three guys that they feel they can plug in every now and repeatedly, and then a couple of other guys that they can throw in as change-ups that are all reasonably talented. I think they're in a good position, despite the fact that Montgomery was such a workhorse, and you just simply can't replace that with one guy at this point.
Good defense last year, led the Big 12 in several categories. I just have a feeling this could even be a better unit. A lot of folks getting preseason accolades like Lima and Eisworth and others. I haven't heard much about Mike Rose. God, the guy came in as a true freshman and was a standout. But your overall thoughts on the defense?
Yeah, I think based on past performance, it would make sense for them to take another step, which it's remarkable how they've gotten this defense to be, as you mentioned, Mark, tops in the Big 12 in several categories. So many guys coming back, whether you talk about linebacker with Rose and then Orion Vance and Jake Hummel on one side, and then Campbell's really high on Chandler Pulvermacher, who is right on the Sam side, with Will McDonald, who really impressed as a 6'4 kind of physical, quote-unquote, freak as a true freshman D-end last season. They felt comfortable enough with that D-line and its experience and its aptitude to put him a very non-traditional size and at outside linebacker at Sam. So, you know, you return so much. Shaquan Bailey is going to become the all-time sacks leader at the school. We talked about Lima. Jamal Johnson took a big step last season. Spelled Lima at times when he was banged up last year. Team didn't skip a beat. And then you bring back any Wazirike, who got hurt late last season, should be healthy for the fall, might be have to be eased in a little bit. And I think the only question marks are in terms of experience. Anthony Johnson and Detron Young, as I mentioned, have some starting experience, but they're replacing guys like Brian Peavy and DeAndre Payne, who had so much experience and so many big plays under their belt. So with the experience coming back and the talent coming back and the talent that keeps feeding in from young guys like Isaiah Lee, who also saw some action as two freshmen last season on the D-line, and others at linebacker, they believe they're going to take another step. In fact, one defender told me that they don't feel that they've really reached their potential until they're leading the Big 12 in every defensive category. So lofty goals, we'll see. But it's hard to argue with what they've been able to put together from year to year in terms of improvement recently.
You brought up Will McDonald in there and how they're playing with him at now Sam linebacker. And I think part of that is, as you said, it's just a testament to how strong that defensive line is. But I think another big part of it is that's just a case where he's 6'4", 230, a really gifted athlete from the sounds of it. It's just very much a situation where you're just trying to get your 11 best guys on the field. But you said he's non-traditional. Do you think he could be effective at that spot?
I think absolutely he could be. It's all a matter of how well he adapts to that. But he's when people have, I think, extraordinary physical gifts, and they can adapt in that way very easily. But conceptually, I think the fact that he, you know, wasn't always playing football kind of makes him a bit more of a sponge, a bit more of a guy who is more adaptable, even just from in terms of sitting in the meeting rooms and all that. But if the coaches are comfortable with it, given their track record, I think fans should be confident that he can do it. And what he also gives them is what Campbell loves to talk about, and I'm sure other coaches do too, the ability to be multiple. You know, whether you're going three-man front, which they mostly have under John Haycock the last few seasons, they feel good about going four, too. And having McDonald there kind of patrolling, he also can be, you know, almost an extra pass rusher if you get him up there. I mean, he gives them a lot of that multiplicity that they're looking for. And as long as he's able to grasp it all and make the transition, which by all accounts he did well in the spring, it gives them so many more new looks, and that's something this defense is predicated upon.
Last one from me, Rob, has to do with the schedule, and I couldn't recall whether it's ever happened before, but two bye weeks for the Cyclones this season, and ironically, before two of the Cyclones' biggest games. Second week off, and then Iowa State plays Iowa, and then a bye week before going to Oklahoma. What's been the discussion about this? Obviously, you can't do anything about it, but what about the schedule?
At times, the schedule is set up really poorly. I remember a front-loaded schedule a couple seasons ago, and as long as you can run that gauntlet, well, lo and behold, a guy holding destined, they thought, to hold a clipboard, and Kyle Kemp replaces Jacob Park's quarterback on the road and wins at Oklahoma, and then all bets are off despite that front-loaded schedule. I think this is as favorable a schedule as I've seen in recent memory. You're right. The bye week before Iowa, after opening against UNI, that's always got some size and strength and skill from the FCS level. And at Oklahoma, arguably their biggest game of the season, because all the other teams who were slated to be top contenders along with Oklahoma, Texas, and the Cyclones, who were picked 1-3 by league coaches, are coming to Ames. So to get that time off before heading to Norman, I think is huge for this team. I mean, look, the stars are aligned in a way, and that's, I think, why Campbell has made it clear that this is the prove-it year, that this is no time to think, as he says ad nauseum, and I've said more than once, too, to rest on your laurels and think you've arrived, because the game will humble you really quick that way. But again, I can't think of a more favorable schedule. Now the matter is putting in the work, getting the right pieces in place and seeing if they can go and execute, and and take another step maybe toward a, you know, a double-digit type win season.
All right, Rob, we're out of time. Appreciate the visit, as always, and we'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Rob.
Rob Gray, CycloneFanatic.com, joining us on the gym class today at 4:42. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll bring you up to date on the Cubs and Brewers, Zach Johnson, and what's going on in the world of sports today, and also ask you this question. What would you rather your favorite team or school do, reach the Final Four or the college football playoffs? We'll discuss after this.
At Menards, nobody beats our prices and selection, so you always save big money on home improvement. Ideal Garage Doors feature a limited lifetime warranty. A 9x7 traditional series garage door features a pre-finished white steel raised panel exterior with an insulated back panel. Just $299.99. A 16x7 model is $519.99. Sale prices are good through Saturday, August 3rd. Now, during Menards Red Hot Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA, LLC, has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
This weekend at Kohl's, everyone gets Kohl's Cash. $10 Kohl's Cash for every $50 spent. Earn it on everything. Spend it on anything, even our biggest brands. The more you shop, the more Kohl's Cash you'll get. No limits. Plus, take an extra $10 off your $50 purchase of back-to-school items. Plus, Iowa, pay no sales tax this Friday and Saturday. Kohl's. 10 off 50 offer valid August 2nd through 18th with promo code BTS10. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Need to get organized? Today is the day for doing with the Home Depot's Pack Store Save event. Put your basement or garage in order with a range of Husky welded steel shelves, including a four-tier 77-inch rack, just $169. That'll save you $30. Easy to assemble, each shelf has a lifetime warranty and holds up to 1,500 pounds. That gets a lot out of your way. Come into the Pack Store Save event, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid until August 25th while supplies last.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
The year was 1919. Barbasol shaving cream was invented by a dreamer named Frank Shields. The world's first modern shave cream, Barbasol changed the face of shaving forever. A few billion shaves later, Frank's dream lives on. Behind every face is a dream. Barbasol proudly salutes every fearless, self-assured, wide-eyed dreamer all across America. Celebrating 100 years, Barbasol.
Last weekend, the Red Sox took 3 of 4 from the Yankees. This weekend, they go head-to-head again.
Saturday at 11:30 and Sunday at 5 here on the gym, KGYM.
Welcome back to a Friday edition of the gym class. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you today. Cubs leading the Brewers 6-1 in the seventh inning at Wrigley Field. The Brewers have runners on first and third, nobody out. We'll bring you up to date, if not on this show, on the Todd Bromekamp Show with Alex Kuhn. I pose the question, Kyle, and please let us know. 319-366-1600. If you could wish for your favorite school to either reach the Final Four or the college football playoffs, which is a Final Four as well right now, what would you prefer?
I think it partly depends what school you pledge to, or you know who exactly you're talking to. But I try to think of this in a general sense. If I was trying to speak for, you know, a given school, and I think I decided pretty firmly on football, because and I came to two big reasons. The first one is that football, I'm not breaking any news here, football is just a little bit bigger of a deal. There's a certain magnitude that comes with football, and you know when the college football playoff rolls around, there's just it takes over the news cycle, at least in sports, and you just don't. I mean, the Final Four, you get that a little bit, but it just doesn't feel the same. Maybe I'm imagining that. I don't think I am, but football is just a little bit bigger.
It's madness, though. It's madness.
Yeah, but then that brings me to my next point. I think that the college football playoff means a little bit more because you probably won your conference. You might be undefeated. You are one of the four best football teams in America, and it is hard to achieve that status. Whereas in March Madness, you're still a good team. You know, they don't let bad teams in for the most part, unless somebody makes a run in their conference tournament or whatever. But I think you can get into a Final Four with just a hot couple weeks. You can get hot, and I don't mean to take anything away from that. You know, Texas Tech, for example. You know, I'm not trying to take anything away from Texas Tech, but do I actually think Texas Tech was one of the four best teams in the country last year? No, not so much. So I just think that getting to the college football playoff is a little bit more of an accomplishment than getting to the Final Four in basketball.
Which would you rather have your school do, reach the Final Four or the college football playoffs? Mike on my Facebook page responds, the Final Four. Can't beat the atmosphere. It's a long way from the 64, and the excitement keeps building. I guess if I had to choose, it'd be football as well. For some of the same reasons you pointed out. It means you've had a heck of a year. 1 year conference, or 1 year division in the case of Iowa, won the conference championship game in the case of either Iowa or Iowa State. And you've really accomplished something special there. On the other hand, the chances of reaching either and going the next step and winning it, I think you have a better chance in the Final Four. Anything can happen if you reach the Final Four, and has happened in the past in the Final Four in basketball. In football, you're going to run into Clemson or Alabama, and those teams present a huge roadblock to win it all. But obviously, you can't go wrong if your school reaches either level, can you?
No, not really. And Cyclone Tim on the text line says, Final Four, basketball, everything. Final Four, basketball, everything and everyone is in the same building. And I think that touches on the environment, which is exactly what I believe Mike discussed as well, where the environment that comes with March Madness, that comes with those semifinal games where everybody's in the same building. The spectacle that is the Final Four in basketball, I don't mean to take anything away from it. But, like, I just think that it's not a lifetime, but to get to the college football playoff requires greatness. To get to the college football playoff, you're almost not allowed a single road bump along the way, unless you're Bama and you come into the year with a certain reputation that buys you a little leeway. But to make it, if Iowa or Iowa State were to make it to the college football playoff, they had to have played a damn near perfect season. And that is what I would want my team to do.
71-43 on the text line. I'm a diehard hoops fan, but it's definitely the college football playoff. What if the playoffs expand to 8 teams? Then it's not such a big deal, is it?
That
it's a big deal. Don't I didn't mean it that
right,
way. No, but.
Right. It does take a little bit of the luster of what I just said, where you have to be pretty much perfect all year. To open it up to 8 does kind of open that door for somebody to lose a game, slip up just a little bit, which I personally like the 8-team playoff idea, but for the conversation we're having right now, I'm still going with football.
Yeah, and I got a tip of the hat to Coach Lorsman, former coach out at Xavier. He posed this question, or a similar one, on Twitter. So I thought it might be an interesting little mini topic to get to as we close out our week. I don't think there's a wrong answer. It's just a matter of preference. Seventh inning stretch at Wrigley. Is it still 6-1?
6-1, or no, now 6-2. I don't know if you've been able to see it, but Javier Baez had another double. He stole a base. Gosh, he's just so fun, man. He's just so fun.
We talked earlier about the Cubs' road woes. Well, they're at Wrigley Field today, so much comfortable atmosphere, and they're doing quite well. But there's some hand-wringing after the series in St. Louis, which the Cubs lost. Perhaps the impetus for our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Kyle, would you contemplate a managerial change if you were the Cubs? Yes or no? Thanks to Emil's Hideaway. First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, and behind Taco John's.
It's really difficult because, like I said, Alex first planted this seed in my brain last night, because before this was kind of brought up coming into the season, and I was hard no. You know, Joe Maddon has been one of the best in the business. I wasn't trying to hear it. But now that we've seen the team play the way that it has for another year, I'm still not going to consider it. The answer is still no, because Joe Maddon broke the curse. He came to Chicago. He has been one of the best in the business for close to a decade now. The know-how is still somewhere in there. And given that he was the guy who broke the curse for the Cubs, I just don't think that you can do that to Joe Maddon. You can call it overly sentimental if you want. I'm going to call it respectful a little bit more than sentimental. But the thought is much more in my head than it was coming into the season. But no, I'm not going to consider it even at all.
Cyclone Tim on the text line. Watch the Cubs get their hot streak in mid-September and win the whole thing. What do you do with Maddon then? Should have extended him early in the season. It leaves a cloud over the whole organization, in my opinion. We need to take one last break, and when we come back, we'll put a bow on the show after this.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, are you just going to stand there and let people not give you credit for being a good driver? You deserve discounts on car insurance, and that's what Snapshot from Progressive is for. So why aren't you signing up? You need music to get pumped? Hit it! Drum solo! Ow, that hurts my fingers.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
At Fidelity, we believe nothing should come between you and your money. So we're introducing zero account fees with zero minimums to open an account. All because we want you to invest with zero trade-offs. Visit fidelity.com/value to learn more. Zero account minimums and zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Expenses charged by investments such as funds and managed accounts and for commissions, interest charges, or other expenses for transactions may still apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSE, SIPC.
When you purchase your parts at O'ReillyAuto.com, you can pick it up in-store when it's convenient for you. Your parts, tools, or accessories will be waiting at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. No shipping cost, easy returns, and convenient pickup. Shop O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices, every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
After a 5-2 road trip, the Twins are back home for a long homestand beginning with the Royals on Friday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis right here on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Welcome back. The last couple of minutes of the gym class. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you on this beautiful Friday. Updates: the Cubs leading the Brewers 6-2 in the seventh inning. Brewers now with two men on trying to come back in that one. If you missed it, state baseball tournament, Xavier punched its ticket to the 3A championship game earlier today against Marion, winning 4-1. Marion with an outstanding season best record in school history. Xavier moves on with its 40th win of the year. It will face Central DeWitt, 38-3. The Central DeWitt, the Sabres knocked off two-time defending state champion Davenport Assumption 4-1. So Xavier, along with Albernette and North Lynn, will compete for state championships tomorrow in Des Moines. As you heard, Twins baseball tonight, 7 p.m. on 107.5 FM, first of three against Kansas City. More local programming coming up at 4 o'clock with Alex Kuhn and Todd Brommelkamp, the TB show with Alex Kuhn. I have a great show lined up for you. And Kyle, thanks for sitting in. And we will rejoin Scott Unash on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Talk to you then.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our All Your Favorites with a Few Surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're